Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, if you haven't jotted it down already, equip.org. EQUIP.org. Our post office address is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I want to say just a few words before we go to our callers. I was thinking before I came into the studio of how time marches on. We're now in the second week of January. Pretty soon we'll say it's Lent, and then we'll say it's Holy Week, and then we'll say it's Easter, and then we'll say, well, you know how it goes. Time marches on as we move towards eternity. But there's something that you can do that would be really significant. Many things you can do in the meantime. I want to bring one to your attention. It actually comes from Melanie Cogdill, who's the managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. And in the From the Editor section, she writes about something that she wishes, and I wish, all of you would consider doing. First of all, she starts out by saying that you might have heard that there is a demise in the print edition of books and culture. And there are many reasons as to why that's happening. It could be the internet economy. It could be the death of print in favor of electronic forms of reading material. It could even be the demise of reading itself. And while those things perhaps are factors, there remains a crucial need in evangelicalism and specifically in apologetics to know how to answer with sound reasoning those questioning the historic Christian faith. And the Christian Research Journal does precisely that. Melanie goes on to say that the publication has been in print for almost 40 years. It has gone from a newsletter all the way to a quarterly glossy and now a bi-monthly glossy with three times as many feature articles than we used to publish. A subscription price is $39.50, or almost $40. For six issues, and that might seem like a huge investment to many. But that cost is less than, well, a week's worth of extra large lattes or a monthly cable bill. Here's the point Melanie wants to make. If even half of our current subscribers would get one new person to subscribe or to give a gift subscription, we'd meet our budget to continue bringing you our award-winning content. Who could benefit from a subscription? Well, your pastor, a missionary, a family member, a Sunday school teacher, a Christian school Bible teacher, or for that many, any teacher at all, your local Christian school library, a college or grad student, your small group Bible study leader, anyone who is a Christian, bottom line, would benefit from this incredibly insightful resource. It's, quite frankly, one of a kind. We want to get the word out, and so the purpose of talking about this is we want to enlist your help in doing just that. There's nothing like gifting a friend with a great resource that he or she has never heard of. And to make it easy for you, just go to the webpage, where you'll see our subscribe button as well as a PDF subscription flyer that you can download. Of course, you have our permission to distribute the flyer widely to help you and to help us get the word out in a broader sense. So, bottom line, the next time you stand in line at the grocery store and see the racks of magazines in front of you with the latest Hollywood gossip, think about the Christian Research Journal and the eternal impact it can have for God's kingdom. By gifting a Christian Research Journal subscription, you will be equipping many others in the faith to think and to live Christianly. Again, from the editor section of the Christian Research Journal, the new edition, fantastic cover story, is artificial intelligence taking over? When you read this, you're going to learn a tremendous amount about the biblical worldview. That's what's really cool. It's going to answer the question, but in the process, you'll learn a lot about the biblical worldview. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, if you haven't done so already, on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. First up, Daniel in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about the slogan y'all use, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. I wanted to ask you a question about who determines the essentials? I guess I had a question because historically those essentials have kind of shifted. I know during the Protestant Reformation, the essentials around grace alone, by faith alone and Christ alone, were really big. And then also, essentials were things of sacraments. I know mode of baptism, who you baptized, were considered essentials, whereas today maybe those things are up for grabs. And I know there's a lot of different groups like the Gospel Coalition and Together for the Gospel, but nobody ever really drills down and, hey, what are the essentials? Where can we stand shoulder to shoulder with people? And I wanted to kind of get your take on that. They're just things that I'm kind of thinking through right now.
Sure. And a brilliant prologue to your question. I think that what I would say about this, Daniel, is that the essentials are not determined by any group of people, but rather discovered. In other words, as you read the Word of God, you find main and plain things in the Word of God, and those main and plain things are what we call essential Christian doctrine. So the deity of Jesus Christ stands out above the rest as a main and a plain thing. Jesus asking the mother of all questions, who do you say that I am? The doctrine of original sin is a main and a plain thing, and obviously, it contradicts the Muslim idea of an original slip. So you can look at the nature of God, you can look at the resurrection, the incarnation, even eschatology. Eschatology has main and plain things related to it and secondary things related to it. What's main and plain in Scripture, easy to determine, is that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. What's not so easy to determine is the details leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, or for that matter, how you might read apocalyptic literature. So the main and plain things, I think, are readily discernible because of their ease of understanding. Not determined by human beings, again, but determined by reading the Word of God, and theologians on the basis of that have codified the main and plain things in various modes or manners. I've done so in an acronym form. I use the doctrine acronym to give what I consider to be the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Now, obviously, some theologians will codify the essentials in seven. Some will do nine. Some will do 12. So sometimes there's the collapsing of categories. But again, the idea behind it is those things that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
Okay, that's helpful, and I appreciate your answer. Can you speak to, like, you even mentioned time in that previous segment, like times and seasons, and, you know, even saying things like Advent or Lent. I know Puritans, for instance, would take exception to those sort of categories because they would say they're unbiblical, and because of that, they wouldn't.
Sure, and that's exactly why we wouldn't consider them the main and the plain thing. So what we say is an essentials unity. This is not original with us, of course, but an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and an all things charity. So in terms of certain celebrations, I mean, there are a lot of Christians that will not celebrate Christmas or Easter. There are a lot of people that follow a liturgical calendar and a lot of people that do not. But these are important issues. I'm not saying by categorizing them as secondary that they're not significant. I'm simply saying that they are not the acid test for orthodoxy. The acid test for orthodoxy are those things that are, again, main and plain, from the deity of Jesus Christ to the nature of God to the resurrection, which is the capstone in the arch of Christianity, to the incarnation of Christ. Without his kenosis, we cannot experience theosis. So there are many things that we would consider essential just because they are main and plain teachings of Scripture.
Great, great. Well, thank you, Hank. I really appreciate your ministry and your thoughtfulness. Thank you.
Well, and the excellent way in which you phrased your question as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jay in Arlington, Virginia. Jay's listening in Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jay.
So I've had discussions with people, and I don't have a real good answer for this, so maybe you could just sort of address it. And it's sort of the question that goes back to the concept of original sin and the fact that we have an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful God who created us, knowing that we had this proclivity towards this curiosity. He fabricated us with all of the tendencies that we have and is able to see all things. And how and why, I guess, are we subjects as having, for example, I never asked to be created or born, and yet I'm subject to original sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. So I don't know how to rationalize that to myself sometimes, but certainly for other people. And I'm going to hang up so I can listen to your response. I love your ministry. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Jay. And yeah, I mean, it's a it's one of these issues that we determine by going right back to the beginning. God could have created the angels. He could have created humankind in such a way that they could not sin. But as I've said many times in this broadcast, had God done that, then they could not have loved in a genuine way, because love always requires volition. So God created as volitional beings, human beings, that can, in fact, choose to love him or choose to reject him. Now, I think on a larger scale, we were created for life in the Trinity, which is to say, we were created for fellowship with God. We were created for loving relationships with God. And without love, obviously, we cannot be brought in to the loving relationships of the Trinity. The great thing is that God created us in such a way that love is possible. And through that, if you think about his wisdom, you realize immediately that he created the potential for the best of all possible worlds as well, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So it is true that we are born with a broken gene as a result of Adam's sin, and that, as the Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we're also born in such a way that we can choose to love the one who has revealed himself to us in creation, on our conscience, and through the light of Christ. And as we respond to light, we will continue to receive more and more light. So it's a wonderful thing that you were born and that you have an opportunity to respond to the grace and goodness of God, as I'm sure you have, and to continue to grow in that love relationship. I mean, that's one of the great things that all of us can experience. It is the in infilling, the ingrafting of Christ. I mentioned earlier a saying of the early church fathers, kenosis becomes theosis. He emptied himself, and it became the means by which we can be filled with Christ, the very presence of Christ, so that we can live within the context of what we were created to live within, and that is fellowship within the Trinity. And that extends to fellowship with one another. So we can learn to love other people in a genuine, selfless way, as opposed to a selfish way. So all of that God has placed. Now, God did, of course, have the opportunity to create a world in which we could not choose, but then again, we would not be brought into fellowship with the Trinity. Much more could be said, but this is an intriguing question, an important question, and one that makes me grateful that I can have a loving relationship with the one who knit me together in my mother's womb now and for all eternity. We'll be right back with more answers. Please don't touch that dial.
In a pseudo-live performance 6 years after his death, Michael Jackson's image skips across the concert stage in sync with real dancers as he sings Slave to the Rhythm from his posthumous album, Escape. What are we to make of an America that actually prefers the copy to the original? Read the incisive commentary by Arthur W. Hunt III, Necromancing the Stone, The Thrill of Dancing with the Dead, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It has become politically correct to view gender bending and a radical redefining of gender itself as ways to set people free from internal turmoil and confusion. But the Bible offers a radically different approach to understanding ourselves and finding peace regarding personal gender identity. Other topics include why computers will not become conscious and take over the world, responding to evil Christianly, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am? Is perfection an achievable goal, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or go online to equip.org. The classic film 2001, A Space Odyssey, played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 and its implications for computer science can put our minds at rest. Don't miss the cover feature article, Who's Afraid of How? Why Computers Will Not Become Conscious and Take Over the World, by Charles Edward White, in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Roger. Andy, we have some incredible resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. One, I've mentioned already, the Christian Research Journal. For your support, I'll send you a copy. And I think you'll really enjoy it. It's absolutely fantastic, and probably as a result of getting an edition of the journal for your gift, you may even consider subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. A couple of others, my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. I mean, in that book, I worked on that book for probably 3 years, but in that book, you'll find answers to many of the objections, if not most of the objections, that people raise against the inspiration and validity of Scripture. A lot of people just say the Bible's out of touch with the times, it's out of date, and when you read this book, you'll find out that nothing could be farther from the truth. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. So it's a book I wrote, a book that I'd love to put in your hands, a book that I'm absolutely certain you will enjoy. And then there is something that I am deeply enjoying every single day. I mentioned a few days ago, I can't wait to get into my car anymore because in my car, I have the Word of God, Audio New Testament. And it is audio theater, dramatic audio theater. So you're not just hearing the spoken word, but this is being acted out. The exact words are being acted out with sound effects. And it is enthralling. I've gone through the Bible many, many, many times over the years, but I am, for some reason or other, enjoying this experience as much as I've experienced or enjoyed experiencing anything in recent memory. I mean, it's just absolutely enthralling. And it is available. It's an incredible gift available for those who give to the ministry. And again, we're not trying to get you to give to get. We're trying to get you to give to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. But we're also trying to equip you, and these are fantastic resources. So check them out, and you can do that on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants as well can be contacted when you pick up the phone and dial 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Bill next, listening in Minnesota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Hey, I really appreciate your program, like so many others. You really helped me in my journey. My reason for calling was, it really was about a week ago when I heard you said one of your resolutions for this new year was to be to listen to the Bible in your car. I spend a lot of time in my car, and I'm just about finish with the Old Testament, and I'm just wanting to say I was kind of, not in a boastful way, but kind of going to myself, hey, you know, Hank and I are on the same page, or I'm somewhat on the same page with Hank. Do you follow me?
I absolutely do.
Oh, it's been wonderful, and I have to tell you that I was shocked today when I was reading or listening in the book of Zechariah, one of the, I guess what we call a minor prophet, is that correct?
Well, yeah.
And Zechariah was talking about, prophesying about, you know, the Messiah and coming on the colt of a donkey or what have you, and, you know, that spoke to me. And as I looked that up when I got home for lunch in the Bible itself in my hard copy, I was shocked to see that I'm just like one book away from completing the Old Testament. I was I was shocked. I don't think I, other than being in my car with CDs, I doubt I would have ever done that. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great benefits that we have today. I mean, there's so many ways in which we can partake of the Word of God. And yeah, I mean, this dramatic audio theater is fantastic. I mean, it just mesmerizes you. I mean, it's never been a danger to me driving. I mean, I think that I'm fully alert as I drive, but I'm also focused on the Word of God, and it has been incredibly helpful. It's kind of cool too when I have my kids in the car or my wife in the car. We sort of turn that car into a sanctuary because we end up listening to the Word of God together, and oftentimes end up talking about it, asking questions, discussing things that come up in the text, and so it's a fantastic experience.
I agree, and thank you for your ministry, and just keep up the good work, Hank.
Hey, well, thank you. No questions today, but a wonderful testimony. Again, we're talking about the Word of God audio New Testament that is available. It's a brand new production by my good friend Carl Amari. He is a producer, he's an actor, he's a director, and he's been at this for a long time. He's been persistent. He wanted to come up with the best of the best of the best. And when you're producing these kinds of things, you go through trial and error. He has world-class A-list actors that have been commissioned for this project. But I will tell you, he has really hit it with this new product. I am so proud of him and so proud of the opportunity that the Christian Research Institute is affording people to listen to the Word of God audio New Testament presented in dramatic audio theater. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. And we will talk next to Ryan listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. I just have a general question. I know the Bible says that the Lord knows when you're going to die before you're born. I guess that's a difficult thing for me to answer when people ask or say that we truly do not have free will when that comes to suicide victims or overdose victims and things like that. So I just wanted to get your response on that.
Sure. And I've answered this question many, many times. And oftentimes I think that there must be yet another way to get people to fully apprehend or even comprehend what I'm saying in this regard. What I typically point out, Ryan, is that what is important to recognize is that knowledge of something does not make the person who knows the causal agent of what they know. And the best way I know to explain this is just by practical application, a person looking backwards in time. So I can think back to a couple of days ago, I pulled a prank on one of my co-workers at the Christian Research Institute, and I have requisite knowledge of how he reacted and what I did, and it was fun, and I laughed, all at his expense, of course. And but the fact that I know exactly how he reacted to what I did does not make me the causal agent of his reaction. Now, I did pull the prank, but you can think of many circumstances in which you look backwards in the rear mirror, as it were, and see things with clarity without being the causal agent of what you are seeing. So you could testify to what you saw in a court of law, but you didn't cause what happened. So the fact that God knows what you are going to do, knows all the days ordained for you, as you point out in Psalm 139, the text tells us, written in his book before one of them came to be. The fact that God knows that does not mean that we do not have the ability to act or to act otherwise. Now, I have also mentioned that this is somewhat of an antinomy. In other words, a tension in Scripture, because I fully recognize that the Bible talks about the sovereignty of God, that not a hair falls from your head, that God does not know about it. But the Bible's also very clear that our choices really matter. You think of Jesus saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, how long I have longed to cloak you under my wings as a hen her chicks, but you were not willing." And many other verses. So there's a sense in which there's an antinomy of Scripture here. But I think that it's important to realize the fact that you know, the fact that God knows, does not mean that our actions do not count.
Sure, I totally get that, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope that helps, Ryan. I mean, when you deal with suicide, it's always a... you know, a very, very difficult thing. And in our culture, suicide is ever more prevalent as people are taught that their lives are meaningless, that everything is just a random projection of molecules in motion. And so people think, if there is no meaning, what's the point? So this is, a very relevant question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Paula in Torrance, California. Listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Paula.
Mr. Hanegraaff?
Hi.
Hi. Love your show. Listen to it every day, and God bless you for it.
Thank you.
I have a question. I've been studying in John 16, and he's talking to the disciples about how he's going to go away and going to send the Comforter. And it says here, which I kind of didn't... I went over and over it in my mind and talked to a couple of people about what, you know, was going to happen with Satan. Was the Lord going to wait for Satan to repent or that sort of thing? I'm not eloquent of speech, Mr. Hanegraaff. But it says that he's already judged here in 12, John 16, 12.
Yeah, I think what's important here, and by the way, you speak wonderfully well, so don't sell yourself short on that. You're a good communicator. You know, I think what's important to realize here is that the cross of Christ constitutes God's judgment on the world and on Satan. You think of what a passage in Colossians 2 connotes. When we see that at the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a spectacle of them through his passion on the cross. But Satan has been judged from the beginning. That's why Satan fell. That's why Satan is the enemy of God's purposes. That's why Satan sought to do something with Adam and Eve that is beyond comprehension. He wanted them to become divine on their own terms. He wanted them to seek after self-deification. Now, while deification or theosis or being a partaker of the divine nature is thoroughly biblical, it must never be on Satan's terms. It may never be on our terms. It may only be through the graces of God which he affords to us. So Satan is condemned. And his place, as Revelation 20 tells us, is in the lake of burning sulfur, forever separated from the love and the glory and the goodness of God. And he has been, as the text tells us, Paul speaking, or Jesus speaking in this case, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And he's not going to speak on his own. He's going to speak that which has been given to him, because remember, Christ in his incarnation has undergone kenosis. We are coming up to a station break at the beginning of the next segment, the quote of the day. You'll love it, and we'll be right back.
In 2016, there were 4 Hollywood movies about Jesus, each one attempting to fill in gaps in the biblical narrative. We often assume that Christian movies are either for evangelism or devotion, but the recent Jesus movies might be better at raising questions that open a space for apologetic conversation. Don't miss John McAteer's article, "Jesus Films: Who Does Hollywood Say That I Am?" in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.com.
www.thebibleforjourneyofaith.org. Hank will be back after this. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The classic film 2001: A Space Odyssey played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 can put your minds at rest. Who's afraid of how? Why computers will not become conscious and take over the world. Other topics include the unending bending of gender, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am, responding to evil Christianly, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. It has become politically correct to view gender bending and a radical redefining of gender itself as ways to set people free from internal turmoil and confusion. But the Bible offers a radically different approach to understanding ourselves and finding peace regarding personal gender identity. Don't miss Mary Ellen Dykus's article, The Unending Bending of Gender, in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Speaking of Equip, you can go to equip.org and download CRI's Equip app. That's equip.org/app. You can listen to the broadcast live. You can listen to archived editions. You can read articles. You can even give in a safe, secure fashion. Download the app. You'll love it. And the quote of the day, this quote comes from Cyril of Jerusalem, so named because he was the bishop of Jerusalem, a very significant 4th-century theologian and highly regarded, particularly within the Christian community in the Middle East. Cyril said this, "Not even the least of the divine and holy mysteries of the faith ought to be handed down without the divine scriptures. Do not simply give faith to me, excuse me, speaking these things to you, except you have proof. Oh boy, I'm gonna cough again. At our ministry, a lot of people have come down with colds, and I have come down with one. I think it's the first one I've had in 10 or 15 years, but I don't want to goof up this this quote of the day, so let me start over and see if you can refocus on the text. But this is the quote: "Not even the least of the divine and holy mysteries of the faith ought to be handed down without the divine scriptures. Do not simply give faith to me speaking these things to you, except you have proof of what I say from the divine scriptures. For the security and preservation of our faith are not supported by ingenuity of speech, but by the proofs of the divine scripture." I love that quote. And of course, it is backed up in so many ways by the Bible itself. You think of Paul and Silas on their way to Berea. And when they arrive there, they go to the Jewish synagogue. And the Berean Jews were a more noble character than those in Thessalonica, where they just come from, for they received the message with great eagerness and did exactly what Cyril is saying. They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And as a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men as well. Well, back to the phone lines. Next up, Christine, listening in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for the Christmas card.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's beautiful. I've never seen your wife before.
Well, I mean, she did add a lot to that picture.
It's very nice. And speaking of New Year's, I think I still have my Y2K emergency cabinet somewhere in my house.
Oh, that's funny.
So, 17 years later, here we are. Hank, I have the privilege to work with seniors, and I've met a wonderful gentleman. He's 85, 86. He says about pretty soon he's going to see the Lord. And in our talks, we talk a lot about heaven, and we talk a lot about what we're going to do in heaven. So he's Seventh-day Adventist, and I am not. So we agree on the essentials of the faith, as you say. And we have decided to disagree in a loving way on some other points that we visit on. But his idea, but first of all, ruling and reigning with Christ, are those the people that will get rewards? Or is everyone that is saved ruling and reigning with Christ in eternity? To me, that doesn't make sense, that we'll all be ruling and reigning each other. And then our talks are, because of science and what we know now about space, never ending, it seems, always going, he kind of brings forth the point that we will rule and reign and go to, I hope it doesn't sound silly, different planets and speak to people about salvation and what Jesus Christ has done for us. So this is the way our conversation goes. And we both get very excited about heaven and being there together. I'm going to listen to you on the radio on my way home here, because my cell phone's going to die any second. So if you can give me some insight on that, that would be great.
Yeah, love to. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it is incredible to think that the more we learn, the more majestic the universe in which we find ourselves is. I used to say on this radio broadcast, there are 170 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars, and now I've had to amend that, because as science progresses, as cosmology progresses, we see that the universe is far more vast than we ever thought it was. And now it is far more correct to say that there are at least 2 trillion galaxies, a big leap. But we're going to find out how significant the universe is as time continues, and it will amaze us. Just as when Einstein discovered E equals MC squared, who would have believed that energy and mass are interchangeable, or a small amount of mass can create enough energy to vaporize a city. I mean, this is just unthinkable. But the more we learn, the more grand God's creation is, and we're going to experience that for all eternity. But now the creation groans in travail. It's waiting for its liberation from bondage to decay, and we also. So when the universe is liberated from its bondage to decay, and we're resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, then there is going to be no one to save, because the full complement of God's people will have been carried by Jesus over the threshold of Jordan into the New Jerusalem, which is a way of talking about the full complement of God's people who rule and reign with him for all eternity. Now, the more fundamental part of the question is, how does that cash out? And I think probably the best explanation of that comes from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says that you cannot lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if you build on this foundation, you can do so using inferior products, or you can use gold, silver, and precious stones. And the day of the Lord will show what you have used to build upon that foundation. But then Paul says, after that's revealed with fire, which tests the quality of each person's work, if what he builds survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So you think about that. This is a very poignant statement about the fact that there are rewards. Now, what that in essence means is that we're all going to be complete, but we're not all going to be clones. We will all have, according to what we have done, those who have laid up much treasure on earth will experience that in eternity. And this is why Paul also says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, as I've pointed out many times, that's not speaking of the reward of salvation, but rather the reward of service. The more we live lives that deserve reward, the more we will bring glory to God. I have a chapter or a section on this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, which elucidates this further. But hopefully that suffices for now. Appreciate your call and appreciate the testimony of a collegial heart and spirit. You can't reach someone if at the same time you're repelling that person. Let's go back to the phone lines. And we'll talk to Miley, listening in El Dorado, Kansas. Hi, Miley.
Yes. Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a quick question. One of my favorite sections in the New Testament is Ephesians 6:12-18. And it's putting on the full armor of God. But in verse 18, I always get thrown. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And I don't know what I'm watching for.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I would say about that. First of all, the words there hearken back to the admonition of the Master who warned his slumbering disciples, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. And Peter then extends the warning by urging us to be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So only as you watch and pray can you take your stand against the devil's scheme. So think about the context of what you're reading. The context starts in verse 10, where we're told that we must put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. So this is the admonition. Be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Why do we have to be alert? Because our enemy, the devil, is prowling around seeking whom he might devour. But it is not, as I've said on many broadcasts, just about the devil. It's about sin in general. It's not our prerogative to try to figure out whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. The thing we need to do is be alert, put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. I don't know why I didn't catch it. Okay, thank you so much, and God bless you, Hank.
Well, God bless you as well, and you know, sometimes we don't get it, and that's why it's often great to talk about these things. I do so within the context of the Christian Research Institute. Oftentimes, we're discussing questions that come up on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and as we think together, we gain fuller insight. And that's really what we're doing on the broadcast. I don't have all the answers. I have been doing this for a while, so maybe have a few more answers than some people do, but I don't have all the answers. I think the great thing is to consider these things and to test Scripture in light of Scripture. I don't know if you recognize what I was just doing. What I was doing, in effect, was answering the question not with, you know, an odd predilection of my own or a subjective flight of fancy. What I was doing is I was tethered to the biblical text. So I answered the question by harking back to biblical passages that explicate what's going on. I also looked at the context itself, and we find the answer in both those places. So maybe a little lesson on what you can do to more fully understand or grasp what you are reading. And one of the great things is you listen to the Word of God, audio Bible, New Testament. There'll be things that you hear, questions will arise, you can call. We can discuss them together, and together we'll learn and grow, and we'll be more effective witnesses in making a difference, being co-consummators of the kingdom with Christ. Thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. My apologies to those hanging on. One of these days, when my voice will allow, I'll start doing an extra off-air hour. Oh, that's coming up in the future as well. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It has become politically correct to view gender bending and a radical redefining of gender itself as ways to set people free from internal turmoil and confusion. But the Bible offers a radically different approach to understanding ourselves and finding peace regarding personal gender identity. Other topics include why computers will not become conscious and take over the world, Responding to Evil Christianly, Jesus Films, Who Does Hollywood Say That I Am?, Is Perfection an Achievable Goal?, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.